The second hour of Gesundheit with Jacobus. Here again is your host, Jacobus Hollowein.
That's correct. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate it, Chadwick, for the introduction. Thank you so much, folks. It is absolutely a pleasure today to have Rudy Dragoni with me on the on the phone. Either way, it's all good. But I tell you what an interesting story. He compounding pharmacist. He's really great at it. For me, he has more expert advice than I can come up with myself. So I appreciate the story that he tells, and I know that where this program is going, it's going to be quite a story that it will be a practical use for many of us in daily living. And the liver is indeed very important to deal with. I already have a text. I'll get to that in a moment when there is a moment to discuss it. It has to do with vitamin D3 and as a pre-hormone. So I will talk to Rudy about that. If there is anything you want to learn more about Rudy Dragoni, by all means, go to his website. It's called Clark's Pharmacy, AZ for Arizona.com. Clark's, Clark's Pharmacy, AZ, Arizona.com. And the phone number to reach the company, it's 480-488-2007. 480-488-2007. And that is in Scottsdale, Arizona. Rudy, what a wonderful hour. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You had asked me to repeat what
the recipe
as far as coffee enemas. And yeah. I just want to add that some people have actually told me that the Amish use coffee enemas to cure cancer.
Yeah, so, that is the Dr. Gerson therapy.
Gerson therapy, correct.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, again, was recommended to me 3 times a week for the first week, twice a week for the second week, and then once a week thereafter.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And each time to replace at least 600 milligrams of magnesium, okay? Because magnesium is actually absorbed in a descending colon. So if you're removing it, you need to replace it, okay?
Yes. Well,
I would go further and to say that any time you do the cleaning of the liver and you start losing fat in your stool, that you need to replace all fat-soluble vitamins, again, A, D, E, and K. And it's interesting because in the little book that I made on how to do this, the second chapter of the thing is boosting vitamin D, you know, and E. And now I want to talk about a pandemic that is plaguing the United States.
Mm-hmm. I do want to hear that, but would you mind giving us the recipe first? Plus, I do have a caller on hold who would like to ask you a question. So
Okay. What
was the recipe for the coffee enema?
Again, one more time, what you do is you make 6 cups of coffee, organic coffee, like you would normally make regular coffee. It has to be organic and so that you don't have any pesticides. And then you introduce it into the colon. All 6 cups. It has to be lukewarm so that you don't burn yourself, okay? Yeah. And not too cold because then it can cause cramping. And so if it's warm to the touch and you introduce it and hold it there anywhere between 15 and 20 minutes and then alleviate and get rid of it in the toilet, okay, after that. And many people have come to me and said, you know, even the first time, towards the end of it, it almost smells like a skunk because of the toxins coming out.
Now, do you first take a regular enema to do a first cleanse, kind of rinse it with water or lemon juice or anything like that?
I do recommend you evacuate before you do it.
Okay.
But if need be, by all means, do so. but understand that it's going to clean you out.
Yes.
So anything that's residual in there is going to come out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
So let me talk about what I say is a pandemic in this country.
Would you mind, shall we first take the call?
Then, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, caller. Thanks for joining the show today. What is your name, please? How can we help you?
R. Yeah, I'm glad kicked off your interview by giving credit where credit is due, that there's a certain spiritual side to our lives. And our gila last night, we didn't really talk much about our spiritual side. Since I was dressed like a pirate, I didn't bring anything up. So now that you're talking down and dirty, you really might talk about what is officially the garbage man of our system, lymph system.
Yeah.
My doctor, for instance, says I'm producing mutant white blood cells, and they're getting lodged in the lymph glands. Do you have any personal ideas for cleansing the lymph system, since you can't really stick some coffee enema up the tubes of the lymph system, because it has a lot of tubing, just like the blood system? Does a compounding pharmacy deal with the hormones of a lymph system?
Mm-hmm.
We deal with the hormones of the entire body, and they all play a role in not only the liver or the colon, but also the lymph. You have to remember that your body is in homeostasis. What is shared by one part is shared by the other part, and the body tries to assimilate any toxins or any bad thing and try to separate it from the body. For example, if you eat something that's not good for you and the body doesn't know how to get rid of it, sometimes it'll make you hungry to be able to store it in a fat cell. There have been shown people that take hallucinogenic drugs like LSD or mescaline that for a long time after they stop using it, okay, that they're fine, and then they go on to a diet and they tap into a fat cell where that LSD was put in, and they go right back into a trip because it's released back into the body.
I see.
Understand that you're constantly in homeostasis. Cleaning the liver not only cleans the colon and cleans the blood system, but it also aids in cleaning the lymphatic.
I see.
The whole idea is, if you're making irregularities, is to try to create a cleansing situation where your whole body is in better or in a younger state to allow your body to be able to cleanse everything. It has repercussions. Cleaning the liver has repercussions onto the lymph glands.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
Cleaning the liver has repercussions onto the intrathecal areas, into the brain. Okay? I have seen people that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's that once they were, and they were working a lot with varnish on boats.
Oh.
And when they remove the toxins that were found in the liver, okay, and removed some of the varnish, or I should say petroleum products that were stored, okay, in the body, they got mental clarity.
So
you have to understand that there's no such thing as I'm cleaning the liver and all I'm doing is fixing the liver. No. Cleaning the liver then has a different situation to every part of the body. And so I would think that if you did your liver cleansing, okay, that you would have repercussions that follow on to your lymphatic systems. So, I have a lot of information to tell, and on a one-on-one basis, I would love to talk to you. And when we finish the show, if you have questions, you can reach out to me, and I'll be more than happy to help you in anything that I know, and hopefully we have some kind of solution for you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. That is so interesting, because the varnish, yes. Then you talk about petroleum products, and you can talk about estrogens and estrogenic compounds
and
that are coming in.
And how they work. I have a lot to talk about, so let me just jump
bet.
Into this one thing with vitamin D.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
You want me to read the question so the listeners know what we're talking about here?
No, because I'll just explain it.
Okay.
What happens is people say, get vitamin D from food or get vitamin D from nutrition.
Yes.
The best source of vitamin D is the sun.
Yep.
And what has happened is when we were kids, I remember there was a sunscreen 2, sunscreen 4, maybe a sunscreen 6, in the later years. And most people use baby oil. And that's not good because it could cause a lot of skin damage, okay? But yes. Nowadays, we've gone completely on the other side. I've seen mothers spraying their children with a sunscreen 100, okay? And it's like they're painting them body to toe, and then they put the pants on and then shirts on, and then they put a hat on, and they let them play in the shade because they're so scared of damage from the sun. Everyone needs 15 to 20 minutes of sunlight a day, and that helps make vitamin D normally. Now, vitamin D is necessary for activation of progesterone, and if we don't have a good vitamin D level, progesterone doesn't work. So what have I been finding? I've been finding that a lot of doctors or a lot of patients coming to me with young kids that have just started their period, and they're having horrible periods because progesterone is supposed to balance the amount of estrogen they have in their body.
Yes.
And if you don't have the right amount of vitamin D, you don't activate the progesterone, so therefore there's no balance, and they have high estrogenic effect. So there are the young girls coming in with a lot of bleeding, a lot of cramping, a lot of PMS. PMS, there's no such thing as PMS. There's only PDS, progesterone deficiency syndrome. And if you have the right amount of progesterone in your body, and it should be in balance, but it's not working, check the vitamin D. Because I've seen vitamin D's, the normal range is supposedly between 30 and 100.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But the truth of the matter is that when I want to get rid of symptoms from even menopausal women or young people, once I bring them above the 60 level, 60 to 100, the symptoms go away.
I tell you, Rudy, I tell people, above 60 is safe. And if you can, try to get between 75 and 100. And I look at it all the time. And for me, this is simply an experience that I have had. I tell people every time, and again, this is not scientifically proven. This is just anecdotal from all the years that I've done this. If anybody comes to me and says they are dealing with depression, with cancer, and with some kind of a chronic disease, and I ask them for the vitamin D level, it's usually below 35. So I tell people, you get your vitamin D level over 75, you're going to watch and wait what happens. And most of the time, because vitamin D3 has been shown to be effective in 26 different cancers. Now, I'm not saying that you have cancer, you take your vitamin D, your cancer will be gone. But I tell you one thing, you better have that tool in the shed, because it is very, very important for our body.
Well, let me tell you my experience, Jacoby.
Yeah.
What happens is I've had tens of thousands of people that I, over the years, that I've been able to consult with, just like the gentleman that we were talking about. And I'll have them check their vitamin D, and they're taking 200 milligrams of progesterone, for example, people that are menopausal. And I'll say, your vitamin D is low. If it's 15, I tell them to take 10,000 units a day for 3 months. It has been shown, on average, that if you take 10,000 units a day for a month, it raises it about 15 points. So if you're at 30 and I want to bring you above 60, I tell them to take 10,000 units for 2 months and then to go down to, 2,000 to 5,000 to maintain it.
Yes.
I always recommend that they spend 15 minutes in the morning, just looking at the sun, facing at the sun, getting some exposure of the sun. It's very good to get the sunrise into our eyes and into our brain because it helps make melatonin, which you'll use at night to go to sleep, okay? But the vitamin D deficiency that we have in this country is the reason why we have so much PMS, so many different hormonal problems with our young people. So, and regretfully, they go to a doctor and they'll say, oh, you're having all of these problems, we're going to put you on a birth control pill. And, if you get a license at 16 to drive a car, and getting a license gives you permission to drive a car, what does getting a birth control pill at 13 do? I'm sorry, but I'm against it.
Yeah,
I'd rather you check your vitamin D, you get the progesterone level, and adjust them. And by the way, tell them that if you are doing this, you will become even more fertile. Because this is how I help people be able to attain fertility, to be able to have children. So that's my own little pet peeve.
Well, that is a very interesting concept because there is no long-term studies done on the pill use at a very young age. And exactly what you mentioned in the very first half hour, we are all individuals. This may be a recipe of success for some individuals, but the majority of people will have issues that because they went to the doctor and the doctor plays God, they accept that whatever the doctor says will work, and the symptoms that they're feeling and the problems that they continue to have must be in their head or must be part of them. It cannot come from this little pill that they've been taking. Hormones are very, very dangerous to play with. You cannot mess with it. You need to understand them, and you need to work and find that homeostasis in the hormones as well. And I totally agree with you, Rudy. This is a big problem, how quickly we are putting people on antibiotics, how quickly we put women on hormone replacement therapy, how quickly we put young girls on birth control pills. These are synthetic hormones that the body doesn't recognize, and they cause a lot of havoc. And they may alleviate some of your symptoms, but not all of your symptoms. And we got to be extremely careful with it.
Well, in 2004 and in 2005, there was something called the PEPI study and the HERS study.
Yes.
And they did this to be able to prove that the synthetic hormones were better than the bioidentical hormones. And very quickly, over a short period of time, they were able to prove the opposite, that the bioidentical hormones were better than the synthetic hormones. And so they quickly stopped the study. But people got wind of it, and when they got wind of it and they saw that the results they were trying to prove were exactly the opposite, and that bioidentical hormones were actually helping people, okay, ward off cancer, that they stopped it. Now, I just want you to think about this for a second. If you have people, and you lined up 100 people, and I'm not advocating this, I'm just giving this as a hypothetical situation. If you had 100 people and you gave them a glass of toxic waste drink, okay, and yes. You knew that this was going to cause cancer, and they take it, and all of them got cancer, okay? Now you take that same glass and you throw it in 10 million gallons of water, and you stir it up, and then everybody drinks a gallon, or I should say a glass of that water. The probability is that no one's going to get cancer because you only got a small amount of the toxic situation, and not enough to create a problem. The body should be able to take care of that, okay? So yes. What does that lead us to be? It leads us to know that if you have anything that's causing a condition and you remove it or diminish it or use something to fight against it, that condition is going to be minimized.
Yes.
When we look at what happens with people as we get older, especially women, men lose about 2% of their hormones from age 25 on. So by the time you're 50, you're half the man you used to be, okay? And what does that translate? And I'm not talking about the sexual appetite type of thing. What I'm talking about is, again, we work with the Phoenix Fire Department, and you get a 49-year-old fireman, you get a 19-year-old fireman, and they're both playing, both look like they're in good shape, and they're both playing basketball. They jump up, they come down, they sprain their ankles. The 19-year-old is back on the court in 3 days. The 49-year-old is 3 weeks and still mending that ankle.
Yeah, you're
okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a lack of hormone. We build up that 49-year-old's hormones, and no, I'm not going to be back in 3 days, but he'll be back in a week instead of 3 weeks. Okay? And so what happens to his mind when he's out for 3 weeks? Well, after 3 weeks and he's feeling better, they say, hey, come on out. Let's go play basketball again. He goes, nah, I'm going to go clean the truck. No, I'm going to go do paperwork. Why? Because he's scared of hurting himself for another 3 weeks. Okay? And that now changes your mindset. I tell, again, going back to my dad, when he was younger and we were back in the Bronx, and I come running upstairs. I go, Dad, there's a car fire outside of our house. And he looked at me and he goes, is it your car? I go, of course not. I was 9 years old. He goes, what do you care? And he went about his business. Fast forward 30, 35 years, and I go to visit my dad. I go, hey, Pop, what are you doing outside? He goes, you know, there's this woman that comes around with this dog, and the dog does his business right by the fire hydrant, and then I have to go and clean it up. So I want to talk to her and make sure it doesn't. The guy who couldn't care if there was a car on fire, okay, when he was younger, now worries about dog poop.
Yes.
Okay, this is what it does to the brain. when you have a deficiency in testosterone for men. And people are not talking about it. When dad walks around saying, hey, shut off the light, okay, it's because he doesn't want to work anymore to make the money to pay for those lights. Because he's tired, okay, and it affects the brain. So it's not just about sexual appetite. It's about mental health. People don't realize that getting the hormones right actually helps people be more relaxed, be more in tune with what they have to do, and helps take care of their family.
Yes.
With that being said, let's go back to, so we know vitamin D is necessary to activate progesterone.
Yes.
I want to talk about vitamin E. Vitamin E helps accentuate the estrogen signature and the testosterone signature. So when some people increasing their vitamin E, 400 to 800 units a day, actually helps them without having to adjust the hormones. It actually accentuates the hormones that they have.
Yes.
So we said number one is take care of the liver. Number two is take care of the fat-soluble vitamins. Number three is adjusting the thyroid. Now, it's important that we talk about thyroid because if I had a perfect person with perfect hormones, perfect food, the epitome of health, okay, and I took that person and put him in a box for 3 days and took that person out, what I would find, instead of burning at 98.6, they'd be about 95, 96. Their temperature goes down. When the body is starving itself, it tries to fight back. And the way it fights back is by saying, okay, I need to lower my temperature so I don't burn all the food that I have. I need to maintain whatever hormones I have. So she creates something called a steroid hormone binding globulin. It's just a protein that's made to be able to attach itself to the hormones so that we don't use them all at once.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And so this is the body's protection mechanism.
Yes.
The problem is that when you have a thyroid problem, whatever it may be,
yeah,
the same thing happens. The body thinks you're starving, even though you're feeding yourself. And people gain weight, okay, because they're no longer burning at 98.6, they're burning at 96. So the 2-degree temperature change in the body is enormous amount of food that's being stored as fat.
Rudy, we have to take another break. Rudy, we got to take another break. Folks, stay tuned. We're going to be right back. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Rudy Dragoni is with me on the show talking about bioidentical hormones and health of the body. We'll be right back.